Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms, with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids, because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Moms podcast. I'm Aileen.
And I'm Brittany.
And we are together again. It's just me and Brittany, Brittany and me and I, Brittany and I, and we've got lots of updates, things to discuss, crazy stories. We have listener questions. We have a Am I a Momster that is like a really good topic I'm excited to discuss.
And you know that Am I a Momster is our favorite, segment. It's so totally good.
All right. So what's up, Brittany? How's life? I know you have some crazy things going on.
If you could see my face right now, we haven't had internet or TV for a week, and I feel like I'm living in the olden days. I'm literally in the apocalypse. I've literally been working off of my phone hotspot, and so has Noah. And then last night, Noah finally used up his hotspot. Data, I still haven't yet, luckily, but I'm still recording my sister's. But literally, like, Optimum, you suck. And basically, we're switching to Verizon, and they're at our house right now setting it up. And it's been really special.
What did they say was the reason?
They don't know. They were like, it looks like you're getting a signal. And then somebody came to our, and then they canceled the person to come fix it because they said we had a signal. And we were like, but we don't. And then they finally sent somebody. Like,
they were gaslighting you.
Literally on Saturday, and by the time they came, the guy was like, yeah, you're not getting a signal, but this is going to take me a couple of hours to fix. And I was like, it's not your fault, but you can go home because we are switching to Verizon.
Right.
And so it's been really interesting. I've had, luckily, like, you could download things on the iPad, like on Netflix, and Oliver likes the Noggin app and he likes watching Daniel Tiger. So like all those apps, I could download some episodes. But I'm like, I literally feel like I don't even know what. I'm like, you could only watch these two episodes today.
So is he like playing more with toys?
Honestly, no. But I guess for the most, like, he's at camp. Well, actually, he was sick last week and he was home for 3 days.
Perfect week to be. It was horrible. My God. That's just like a storm.
It was a storm, but the iPad was like fine. And I guess he was playing with his toys. Like with Jack, it doesn't really matter. And it was really sad though, because Oliver goes to me, he's like, Mommy, I want to watch in real life. I don't want to watch like this anymore. I was like, you mean you want to watch on the TV? He's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, the TV's broken.
I was going to say you can like go to the office, but I guess obviously because he's home, you had to stay back.
Yeah, it was just kind of like a cluster of madness. And then my nanny's not there today. And so my mom came over and I peaced and came to my sister's.
All right. So hopefully tonight,
fingers crossed,
you're going to watch like a marathon of television.
So much TV. I have so much to catch up on. And I hope this never happens again. But like, I'm really proud to know that I made it through.
You survived. You survived. What was like the hardest thing, like without internet?
Like when my kids are literally going ape shit and I can't turn the TV on. Like this morning, Oliver was watching his iPad and Jack wanted to watch it because he heard the noise coming from it, but Oliver won't share it with him.
Yeah.
So like those things were annoying. But other than that, like it was honestly like I don't watch that much TV. It's more just the random times that you need it as a tool.
That, well, I'm glad that the internet is going to be fixed and peace will be restored to the Levine household.
And if anybody else ever has to go through this, I'm sorry, but you will make it through alive. I am living proof.
Because like you can also like, okay, if you're hotspot, like you didn't have hotspots, you can go places where there's free Wi-Fi like Starbucks and you could probably like download a bunch of stuff for your kids.
That's really, actually no, Starbucks internet sucks.
It sucks. Okay, sucks. So where's a good place with free Wi-Fi? Like the library?
The library, I guess. I don't even know anymore. I
remember last time I was at the library.
We're in the apocalypse. I don't know.
church or temple. Well, that's great. I'm excited for you.
Thanks.
I've been having struggles of my own.
Yeah, let's hear about it.
My sweet baby girl has become a little bit difficult in the evenings. She, she started like crawling like a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or whatever. I don't even know how long. She has so much energy. She's pulling herself up. She does not want to stop. Pulls herself up, falls down, pulls herself up, falls down. It's never ending. Does not get tired. Keeps going. Loves to pull herself up in her crib. Does not want to go to bed anymore. So like, and on top of that, does not want us to leave the room, and has a bit of a stuffy nose. So all of those things converged this weekend, and it was crazy. It was fucking crazy. And last night, so like I figured out, you know, just walking out, letting her cry for a little, coming back was not working. So I just had to stand there, and I was Googling it. I was like, okay, there's like a 10, 11 month regression. This is normal. Yeah. Know that it, you know, you just have to be a little bit like there, patient and there for your kid. There's like nothing wrong with them. They're developing like crazy, especially when they're learning to cruise, which I learned was not a, I thought cruising was like a, yo, the kid's going fast, but cruising, yeah, that's what that meant.
No, it means they're like scaling. Yeah.
They're like moving while holding on to things.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They're going so fast.
Oh, and also her top teeth are breaking it. They just broke out.
There you go. And that's so probably why she's stuffy.
So, but it's all those things happened at once. Like in one snap of the finger. So, but it really helped me to Google it in the middle of the night, because it was one of those things where Google was helpful, because I was like, okay, this is so normal. I'm not like creating bad patterns if I'm like standing there helping her fall asleep. You know, I'm just being there a little bit extra for her, as I should be.
I'm curious, because I'm actually going through something similar. Like Jack won't let me leave the room. But so you just like stand there while she cries?
She doesn't cry when I'm in the room. She cries when oh my God, I want to redo all of my floors, because they make a creak, right? And oh my fucking God. Okay, last night I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So I'm just going to kind of like make her get calm. Like, because the minute you put her down, she turns, tries to get and climb.
Yes.
So when you get them to lay, like put their arms out, you know, like.
Yeah.
That's when you're like, okay, I've got you. So yes. I'm just going to like soothe you for as long as I can, like hand on chest, do a little shush patterns. Like the patience I had, I don't know where it came from. And I was just like standing there, just like calm. Her eyes are closing. They're closed. And then I'm like, okay, she must be asleep. And I take one step and she opens them. She just wants to turn. I'm like,
they know.
They know.
The worst is when you make the step and you're like,
and then you're like, oh my God. Okay, so after a lot of this, I even got myself to like, so I was like, okay, now I just need to make when I think she's asleep, she's not asleep. You must wait there for another 5 minutes.
Yes.
So I found myself, I was like, okay, how am I gonna know if like 5 minutes goes by? So I counted 4 minutes. I was like, I counted to 64 times, literally without moving. Like my joints were aching.
Aileen, I'm not even kidding though. Like I do the same thing, and I love knowing that you do this also, because I thought I was insane.
No, I thought I was crazy. But then I feel like, oh my God, I'm the distance from the crib to the door seems like 3 miles at that point, because you know how many steps you need to take. And you're like, oh my God, I'm going to make so much noise. So it reminded me of that show where there's like lava around you and you're like, have to get out without making any noise. And I'm like, it is really hilarious to watch.
It's so funny.
Because I try, so the 4 minute thing I learned, you know, with practice, because over the weekend, I was like, I was standing in between the crib and the door, petting like her as much as I can, being like, shh, shh, and like trying to see if I could get out at the same time. That wasn't working. She can sense that I'm on my way out. You have to stand there. It was just, it's been rocky.
So then after the 4 minutes, you are able to escape?
I got out. She like, she kind of cooed a little bit. I was like, just go, just go. And so I got out of there and I made it.
Oh my God. Do you ever go back and watch the camera?
No,
and see what you look like walking out?
I can't. I
don't. It's so funny.
You look like Captain Jack Sparrow, like tiptoeing around. Like
literally, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh
but,
my God.
So yeah, we're literally getting those gates installed right now. Had like the guy was like a month wait, but he
did you call the guy then?
Yeah,
I gave
you sent me, and he's here in my house.
Amazing.
And I am very excited about that. But she's gonna be trapped. But I guess it's nice. She has like something to climb. But I made like a fortress in her playroom with pillows and stuff, like blocking her as much as I could.
It's I mean, like Jack is like the same way right now. Like he's not walking, but he'll stand up without holding on to anything. That's his like newest feat. And he like thinks it's the coolest thing. Like he makes his face and he looks at me, he's like, look at what I'm doing.
Know,
and then he falls
so
to the floor.
Funny.
But you know, I was like saying in, I feel like most of like the areas of my house, I've like figured out how to keep it childproof and safe for him to just crawl around. But the one thing I said in our pool beach episode, how it's so fucking annoying taking him to a pool. Because they just like are cruising and moving around and you can't take your eyes off of them. So I was at my sister's this weekend and I took all the pool furniture, like all the outdoor furniture, and I made him a like playpen. And my sister wasn't home yet and she came home and I was like, I moved all your furniture. I was like, it needed to be done.
like you mean like outdoor furniture, like chairs and all that? Like you made a little fort for him?
Yes, like the couches and the table and like the end tables. I was like, it's perfect. And then like all like,
so funny.
And like Oliver and my nephews were like, they're like, how do I get into Jack's playpen?
That's really funny. Yeah, the things that we figure out how to do.
I know.
Is great.
But are these Mila's first teeth that are coming in or she has
no,
teeth already?
No, she had two bottom ones.
Okay.
The top ones were like coming for so long. Like her gums were bubbling. She would make a face all the time, like showing them to me.
Aww.
And I'm excited. I saw it cut through. So I saw it.
How relieving is it when you see them cut through because you know the worst is over?
Oh my God, I got so excited. I screamed.
It's so exciting. Jack had his top four come in at the same time while he had COVID. That
oh my
was
God.
Fun.
COVID?
That was special.
Jeez.
That was a really special
was there like
time.
Do the fevers like add on to each other? Like, or is it just one fever?
Honestly, who the hell knows? But that was such a special time in my life. So.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's over.
It's TJ. Over. Hopefully, knock on wood.
The funny thing when you said like, oh, he looked at you and he was like so proud of myself. That is such a real, it's so funny when they do that. So I have like right now until the gates are, I have like one step that goes from the playroom to the kitchen. And so I'm going to put a gate there. But for now, I just put like couch cushions in front of it. But they're like the arm cushions. So they're a little bit low, but she can't climb over them. So she
right.
She tries over like for an hour, but she doesn't. But I like left one of them to the side. And I watched her like play around and see it. That it's available for the taking.
Yeah.
Go climb up. And I like kind of helped her. Like I wasn't like gonna be like, no, no. Like I was watching her. I was very supervised.
Yeah.
She got up. She did a few steps like now in the kitchen. She looks back at me so pleased with herself. Like, did you see that, Mom? It was
the
cutest thing because it's like such a showcase of their personality.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It was great.
That's That's really cute.
A little girl. Can't stop moving.
With all of these things, it's frustrating, and then things like that happen. And you're like, oh, I love you.
I know. Like little tiny things. Yeah. Like yesterday, she was like sticking her fingers through the holes of the Hungry Caterpillar book. Like she wanted to put it through all of them.
That's Shaq's favorite thing every single night. He like reaches for it. And I'm like, you want Hungry Caterpillar? He's like,
that's so
And then he puts
cute.
His finger through it. She puts her finger through all them.
She loves to do that. Yeah. And she like loves to turn the page like as fast as possible. Like, I'm like, we're still going. Uh-huh. And then like, it's just, and then the other thing that I started doing is giving her choices between books to, and she always chooses one. And I it's never just, there's no pattern about like the left or right all the time. It's like what she wants. And I'm like, wow, like yeah. You were a person. You were not like like just a mushy flesh anymore.
I know. And I feel like, especially once they get to, I feel like once Jack hit 12 months, so like you're like a month away, like once Jack hit 12 months and now he's 13 months, like this past month, there's so much growth in their personality and just their intelligence, I feel like, and like mm-hmm. what we could see. It's so crazy. And like they really, I just feel like they really start to come into themselves and you really start to like see who they are.
Like you can witness him figuring stuff out, or you witness yes. him like his reactions are like unique to him.
Everything unique to him, just how he like he gets so frustrated, or if he wants something, he gets like so angry over it, or like how happy and proud he gets when he accomplishes something, and how much he loves so books sweet. And how he like just like all these little, like he's always like looking at things. And we have this little barbecue, like a toy barbecue, mm-hmm. and there's a like a little circle in it for where you're supposed to put the ketchup bottle. And uh-huh. yesterday he was standing and he's holding the ketchup bottle and you shake it. It sounds like a rattle. And he like wanted to get my attention. So I look at him, he smiles, and then he took it and he put it in the circle where it goes. And he like knew where to put it. And I was like, oh my God, you're a genius.
You're a Mensa scholar. You're going to Harvard. It's really, really funny. That's so cute.
It's so cute.
It is great. There's really, you know, it is kind of crazy because there's, you know, you have all these like things that happen. I'm like so stressed out, but with her, like the sleeping thing, mm-hmm. but at the same time, there's all this other shit that like makes up for it.
Yeah.
So many, like a billionfold.
That so many ways.
You're just like, sometimes I get this like feeling of like, you're really testing me. Like this is a real test. Like to stand there for 40 minutes, like, you know, to try to get you to sleep. And
it's
then
horrible.
Like, and I'm like thinking like, this is, I can't do it. And I walk out the door. But then I remember like during the sleep training time, mm-hmm. when the coach was like, you know, you need to be calm. So like, if you need to leave the room to calm down, that's what's best for the situation, then like go and do that. Like, you know, you go in with like more of an open, less anxious, more open, you know, because the baby senses your frustration.
That's a really good piece of advice.
Yeah, I do feel really like bad about my like impatience, I guess.
Same. Whatever. And I think that like we all get there.
Yeah. I just, yeah, there's, you can't be perfect.
No.
You know, you're just like,
no, it's impossible. We're human. We're human. Like I've literally been doing the same thing. And like I, ever since Jack was sick, like a couple of weeks ago, he had Coxsackie. Which was,
oh my gosh,
horrible. Yeah, I mean, nobody has been healthy in my house for like 3 months at once.
That feels like years.
No, like it's out of control, actually. They've already been sick after the Coxsackie that they had 3 weeks ago. So, I mean.
Maybe, is it all from like camp?
Yeah, like, and like the doctors said that just like a lot of winter, this happened last summer too, like a lot of winter viruses are going around because of like, immunity is down and like people aren't wearing masks and blah blah blah. Yeah. So whatever. Yeah. But yeah, like this whole sleep thing, it's like you think you're in the clear, like if you decide to do sleep training and mm-hmm. you're like, okay, I get them to sleep through the night at 12 weeks, 16 weeks, whatever it is, and you're like, I'm in the clear. My life is good again.
Yeah.
But then, like, there are so many, and not to, like, freak anybody out, because, like, you know, because, like, every regression, you know that it doesn't last. Sometimes it lasts a day. Sometimes it lasts 2 weeks. It is what it is, but, like, we get through it. I feel like even like with Oliver, like that he still has regressions where like he'll, there'll be periods of time where he'll just like wake up every night and come into our room or like whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel like we just get better at it each time.
Yeah. You just, it's one day at a time also. Yeah. It's like you, the thing that I find is unhelpful and I get really worked up about is thinking about like, because during my Googling, late night Googling is like, you know, they said regressions can last like 2 weeks to 6 weeks. And me being like, six fucking weeks of this, like that does not help at all. No, like working up of how long it could be when you really don't know how long it'll last. So like just one night or one day or whatever you're doing at a time and just dealing with that one thing. And then you just kind of get better at it, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's quite the test.
We have like a bunch of listener questions that we actually like didn't get to last episode. Should we go through some of those?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. How about how to have the time and energy to work out as a working mom?
Ooh.
Our queen DST-er.
Question of the year. Yes. So I just did a solo episode on DST Monday. That just came out last Thursday. I was answering a lot of questions about my workout routine and all of that. And I have like a kind of intense back pain that's like radiating from a hip injury. So I had to like completely stop my whole like workout routine and just like do just really low impact stuff. I've like just really started with just walking like consistently. And I found over my many years of inconsistently working out that picking one thing that you really like to do that you can find, like that's not so intense that you find yourself wanting to maybe create, that you crave, is a way to give your, that you'll find time for it because you'll crave it. And then you'll find time in your schedule because you'll prioritize it. So it's, unless you're somebody who really hates working out, like completely zero motivation to move, I would say force yourself to do it because it's really good for your health. Not like, I'm not talking about, when I say health, I mean like your heart, your muscles, your bones, breathing, all of that. And I find it's really good for my mental health. Like I don't even, I said on the episode, I like don't even look at my, like I wear my Apple Watch to see like, because I'm competitive, I want to get faster. but I want to see my pace. But I've found that like I never even look at the burned calories anymore or whatever active calories. So that's kind of how I, that's my thing. But time, I don't, it's so schedule dependent. What do you think, Brittany?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a specific time that I work out. And like, I actually, I think we spoke about this on the on the episode I did when I joined you on DST. I think like what you're saying is like finding something that you really enjoy. Like I started playing tennis and I really enjoy playing tennis. So now I'm playing like 2 days a week where it's like, and I don't even think of it as working out because I love it so much. And I really, I made sure to find time in my schedule. Like I'm doing it at 7:30 at night. And like typically, like I'm the person that's in bed at 7:30 at night, but like I don't even care because I love it and I want to make time for it. But if it were like a HIIT class, I would probably be more inclined to be like, I'm going to skip it. So like, I think what you said, like finding something that you like really enjoy doing, it definitely helps. But like, but like with the whole scheduling, it's, I think as a mom, I think that's hard. I think a lot of my friends who have very strict workout schedules wake up really early, like wake up before their kids. And I think you have to be like a very special type of person to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I am not that special person. But if you are, I think, or like it might be really hard to do it at the end of the day after your child goes to sleep. But if you really feel like you want to make it a routine and like start small, you don't need to. And like this is another thing, like I worked out on, I took a class on Sunday morning and I was like a little hungover, like tired, like I didn't want to do anything. And I was like, I don't need to do like an hour class right now. Like you could there are so many apps out there now. Like I went on the Sculpt Society and I did a 30-minute class and I took a couple of breaks. And there have been times that I've done 20-minute Peloton classes. Mm-hmm. Like I think that like start small. Like don't say like, oh, I have to do an hour class 4 days a week because that's you're biting off too much. I think it's like, okay, let me start with 15-minute classes twice a week.
Yep. I agree with that.
And see where that takes you.
Sustainable. The other thing that I've learned to make things a habit that you don't necessarily do already and like learned it about like based on like habits work is that you like sort of find a cue that like you normally would be doing something else. So like, for example, for me, after I get out of my pajamas, I would get into like my leggings and like a sweatshirt or whatever, my work top. and I would just, you know, go to my notebook and do work. But so I saw that like change. When I changed, I was like getting ready for my next phase of the day. So I instead would just change into my workout clothes and then I would go, it would go make me like excited for that walk. And so I would go for the walk and then I would go, whatever. Well, right now I'm still in my workout shirt, but then I would go do my, you know, the work schedule, whatever, but I would make time for it because I now enjoy it. So like I would have to like push my day, like change my day around to make time for it. Right. But yeah, the working out before like kids wake up is actually what a lot, like when you don't have that much flexibility in your schedule, if you don't work from home, if, you know, a lot of people have to do that. So I had Liz Plosser on and she, you know, she wakes up at like 5.
She's one of those special kind of people.
Special kind of people. So if you want to be a special kind of person and like you want to know how, you can go listen to that episode. It's really good. I mean, who knows? Maybe one day in our lives, Brittany, we'll want to wake up that early.
I'd really like to be that person. Like I really, really do want to be that person, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't know if that's going to happen. Yeah, no, I know myself and I cannot work out at night. Like now in life, like I can't do the nighttime shift. Nighttime is for decompressing and
yes,
some TV and bedtime. Like that is what night is. Morning is for energy.
Before you had kids, like in your like the like prime city days,
yeah,
like pre-kids, do you remember being like that was like the social thing, like after work you would go take a class with your friends, and like so a lot fun. Of people in our office like still do that, which is like amazing because I remember being able to do that, but now I'm like I can't do that.
No, I hear that and I go decline, fuck that.
Yeah.
I cannot do it. Sounds great, I'm gonna miss you guys, but that is not my life anymore. Yeah, sorry.
No
it's so that funny. I'm on the wind down in the evening.
Wind down with a faux pas.
Exactly. Okay, next question. Do you need a labor plan in terms of texting family, instructions for pets, etc.?
Yes. I think yes. I'll tell you like my labor plan. Like I knew we have a dog. I knew who was picking the dog up. This was for one child. I knew when we had one child for Oliver. I knew who was picking the dog up. And then I was like on a group chat with my friends. And then like when I could no longer be a part of the group chat, my husband, Noah, then like put all of my friends on like a group chat and like texted them and like was out and like all of our family was on a group chat. So I think it was like with one kid, like for us, it was easier. And then with Jack, my plan, like I thought I was getting induced and I didn't, I went into labor, but luckily my sister came over. And so like I always knew that my mom would come over and sleep over for two nights with Oliver. That was just always the plan. And then so we didn't have to worry about the dog because my mom was home with the dog and Oliver. And then I guess like that's really the same thing with like the texting. Like Noah took over the texting, like so everybody like knew everything was okay. Did you have a specific plan?
Yeah, it was mostly about the dog. I was so intense. Remember how intense we were?
Oh my God.
Talking about the dog. No, I had the dog. Yeah, the dog. I had my mother-in-law take the dog for a week because I was so nervous about like just what she's going to be like. And I just wanted time alone with our baby. And I didn't want to worry about the dog. and I wanted to be able to like introduce her in a controlled setting. But yeah, when it was getting closer to my due date, I like kind of arranged it where I made sure our in-laws like had like our garage code just in case, or our keys rather, just in case, so that if things were like, you know, emergency or not emergency, but you know, like not planned, then they can just come get her while we're in the hospital or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we made like a list of what she needs, and Rusty's like the dog's best friend. So like he's very much attentive to her needs, like in terms of what they need to do to take care of her. So that was that. In terms of like the labor plan, yeah, I would say definitely make like a plan, write it out, make sure like the people, like there's key people involved and who does what, just, and that would give you such a good peace of mind, because like this way, you know, the minute like you're going to the hospital, like plan goes into action. Yes. And like, that's why people like, that's why they say like pack a suitcase, a hospital bag in advance, because this way you don't have to think about it. You just bring it and things just go into motion. And right. The only thing you have to worry about is like yourself and your health, right. And the baby's health. And
yeah,
but in terms of like, I remember we were so fucking tired. I was in a daze. We were sending a picture to everybody like, Mila's here.
Yeah.
Like it was a wild time, but it was great. And yeah. Some people I know send an email, like the husband sends an email with a picture.
Yeah. We didn't do that.
It's a formal approach.
We didn't do that. We did. Oh, and another thing, if this is like something you're doing in the Jewish religion, when you have a bris, and it is 7 days after, or like 8 days after. I don't know. I think 8 days. I'm a bad Jew. Whatever. You have to like send all that out. So what I did was I like prepared, if you're doing paperless posts or an email, whatever it is, like I prepared that invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Like, and like had that like prepped beforehand, so like I didn't have to like really think about it,
and all the invitees, and you just have to press send.
Yeah. And like also like I made sure I had like a dress for the bris before I had the baby. Mm. And like if you're doing pictures, like try to plan an outfit before you have the baby, because these are things that like you're not gonna want to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And also another thing, especially if this is your second or third child, whatever, definitely like talk to your older child about it and let them know what the plan is. So like originally our plan when I was getting induced was my sister was going to pick Oliver up from school and he was going to go have a pizza party back at her house. And my mom was then going to take him home and they were going to have a sleepover. So like I really like hyped that up and like made it sound really exciting for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want them to, especially like if they're little, you don't want them to feel like, oh, where's mommy and daddy? So if you're like making sure to talk to them and for them to understand that this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And like the best you can.
Right, right. And didn't you like give, like have a gift that the baby gave your older kid?
Yeah. So I had a gift.
Like a bribe.
Yeah, a bribe gift. So Jack bought Oliver a rocket ship.
Jack, okay. Oh, so sweet of him.
I know. That like opened up and had really fun stuff in it. And Oliver, he actually told me he wanted to get him this. He wanted to get cars for Jack. Aww. So I bought those like soft baby cars, and those were from Oliver to Jack.
And does he still have them?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really special. That's really cute. But, and also I know this, if I were me listening to what we just said, I would be very overwhelmed. In terms of like, oh my God, so much planning, shut down body. I would just say like, just make a list, prioritize the things mm-hmm. that you care most about. Make it so easy for yourself. Ask for help. Don't say like, don't think that this is all on you. Literally ask, assign, delegate, do what you can do. Do the things that you feel like, because, you know, you're the one doing the work in the labor room. So make sure the people around you are helping you out. As much as possible.
Yeah. And people around you are going to want to help you. Like,
yeah.
People, yeah. It's like friends or family, whoever you have around you, like people want to help.
Yeah.
Like, don't feel like you're like ever putting a burden on somebody or like anything. Yeah. Like,
that's a good one. All right. One of the questions is, what was your breastfeeding/weaning experience? I feel like we have many episodes talking about the quite emotional journey of our breastfeeding/weaning experience. It was not easy. At least for me, it wasn't easy. The weaning part was definitely not easy. I remember for Brittany, and we do a lot of episodes on it. So just scroll down the feed and you'll find it. It's not too long ago.
I'll link some of them too. We definitely talk about that a lot. It wasn't easy for either of us, but we have a lot to say about it. So I feel like this is a loaded question, episodes worth, and which we have.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on to our favorite segment ever, Am I a Momster?
All right. Hi, Aileen and Brittany. I just started getting into your podcast and I'm a huge fan. I'd love your thoughts about, am I a momster or is my mill a momster-in-law? Here's the scoop. My mill unsolicitedly announced, I love when things start off like this. When my mill unsolicitedly announced when I was pregnant that her grandmother nickname will be Mom Mom. I hated it, but didn't say anything. My husband was hoping I'd get used to it. 6 months after my daughter was born, I was still bothered by my mill referring to herself as Mom Mom, so much that it is one of the reasons I started therapy. In November, I was alone with her and explained that the name Mom Mom as a nickname for grandmother bothered me since it was literally the name Mom twice. I told her the nickname was giving me anxiety every time I heard it and saw it in writing. I told her I was losing sleep over it and how I tried for over 6 months to get used to it, but I couldn't. I told her I recognized it's a regional nickname and it's what children called her mom, but I asked if she would be willing to choose any other nickname. Her response was that she would think about it and then called me controlling and ungrateful for all she does. She said she's the perfect mother-in-law and I'm the reason our relationship is only okay and not great. Jeez. She said, I try too hard to make things perfect for my baby and the world isn't perfect, so I'm doing my child a disservice. Then she deviated from the mom-mom topic and attacked me on other things. 2 weeks later, she told my husband she thought about it and she will be mom-mom or nothing at all and suggested that she and I go into joint therapy.
What?
This really took a turn. Our relationship has been awkward since, to say the least, and we barely speak. It's been 7 months. And neither of us are budging on a name to call her in front of my daughter. I'm still refusing to call her by her preferred nickname, and she's refusing to be called anything that isn't Mom Mom. Therefore, she's being called nothing. Oh my God. This is crazy. I even suggested Grandma Mom as a compromise, and she didn't like it. So now when she's around my daughter, she just isn't referred to as anything. All other grandparents are referred to as something except her, which seems awkward. Are we both momsters, just me or just her? Best, this is good, the actual mom. Oh, God.
I'm laughing only
because this is like so, this is an overwhelming situation.
This is, I feel so bad for you.
I feel overwhelmed. It's really fucked up that she just went attacked her. That is momster-in-law status. Like,
that is serious momster-in-law. Serious momster-in-law.
Like, she didn't say that she was ungrateful for anything she did. She just said the nickname makes me uncomfortable. But we could unpack why it makes her uncomfortable.
It would make me uncomfortable too.
Why would it make you uncomfortable? Like, why do you think she's uncomfortable with a nickname Mom Mom?
Because it's Mom.
Because it's just you're calling yourself Mom twice.
Yeah. Look, I get it. Like, it is a regional thing. And people do call grandparents Mom Mom. But if she wasn't comfortable with it, like, there's no reason to, like, if you're bringing up one thing to then, like, attack a person, like, to just like attack a person for other things that are completely unrelated and then ruin your relationship over it. That's not necessary.
I have the reason why I think that, like, to unpack it and why she needs to go to therapy is because I think that probably there is like a, there is a tension between her, you and your mother-in-law. Like, yeah. This is beyond just the name. Like, this, the fact that this mother-in-law feels comfortable to say this to you is, speaks volumes about, like, the way she is, your relationship, like, all of this stuff. And the fact that it makes you so, it affects you so much that you need to go to therapy for it. So you're definitely not the momster.
At all. Your feelings are very valid.
I agree. I think, though, like, because she even compromised. She's like, what about grandma, mom? That's not even right. Like, that's like a great compromise. Like, that is the core word is still there.
It's still mom,
but it's grandma, mom. But the fact that she wants the grandma wants to hold on to mama is also bizarre. And like, she's just also holding on to her status as like matriarch almost, I feel like.
Yeah.
And it's, she probably feels also like something. But then she did say she would go to joint therapy with her, which in my opinion is not a bad idea. Like, it's unless you really like don't care about your relationship with this person.
Right.
But I would agree to join therapy because this person is going to be in your life and your kid's life for a very long time.
Agreed.
And to have a good mediator there that can show, like, can direct a person. And this is also her idea. So it's really a perfect suggestion because it's not your idea. She is bringing you into therapy, and to have this therapist that she gets to kind of, well, you guys should kind of choose together, but to say that maybe she's wrong, unless the therapist says no, actually the mom is wrong, then that would be bad.
It would not be good. But I feel like a therapist can't really say that. They can't be like, you're wrong, you're right.
You don't know, there are a lot of therapists out there that's
true,
may not be good.
That's true. I mean, it depends how she said it. If she was saying like, oh, we should go to joint therapy, is more of like, I know that's not something we're really going to do, but like, you're the problem, so maybe therapy is what we need type of thing. And you just kind of feel like she's making you feel bad about going to therapy in the first place. Like, then that's like one thing. But like, it's a control thing. Like, it's just a control thing. And that's what's so frustrating about it. And she's not recognizing your feelings. She's not validating your feelings. And she doesn't care that you're the mom and you feel a certain way. It's like her way or the highway, and that's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is very loaded. There's so many things here.
Okay, if you didn't go to therapy, what would you do? Just call her nothing. Call her by her first name, Nancy or whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
Nance.
What do you think? What would you do?
I mean, I would be like, look, like, this is awkward. Like, I know it's been awkward. Like, I feel like you guys can't live like this your whole lives. So I would talk to her and be like, this has been really awkward. And I'm sorry that you're offended that I'm not comfortable with the name Mom. But I think it's more awkward that we can't call you anything. So let's together. I still think that we should pick out a name together. I'm still not comfortable with Mom. But let's sit here and pick out a different name. And I think that we could come up with, let's meet in the middle somewhere. I understand why you're upset. I need you to understand why I'm upset. Now let's meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because you do have the power. But also, I want to know, where is the husband in all of this?
Yeah. Where does he side? Where does he stand?
Where is he in all of this? This is his mother.
Right.
So she mentioned him one time and said that he was hoping that she'd get used to it. So it seems like he's siding with his mom. But so I would, before even talking to her, I would talk to the husband and be like, hey, bro, this is a you problem now. You need to help me solve this. You're my husband. Like, we're in this together. This is our child. This isn't her child. This is what I want. And I gave her a compromise. She's got to either go with the compromise and or choose a different word. But this is the situation. I need you to step in.
Yeah.
Like, I would And if he refuses to, okay, what if he refuses to do that?
No, like he needs to. Like something my therapist tells me.
Yeah.
In like these situations is that like there are certain moments where it's like that's their problem because it's their parents.
Yeah.
Like they like at certain, there are certain things where it's like you just step back and they're, if it's their parents, they need to figure it out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, actually, she says 2 weeks later, the mom called the husband and thought about it and said she'll be mom and nothing at all. And she suggested that she and I go to joint therapy. So like, really, if she's communicating anyway through the husband. So
right.
It's then he's got to communicate back and back you the hell up.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, then you have two problems.
Yeah.
Then you have two big problems.
Yeah. I think first you need to make sure you're on the same page as your husband. And then together you go to the mom.
Oh, she's going to give the biggest guilt trip. Like, I just feel it.
Oy. I feel like I need to know what could you write us and tell us what happened?
I need to know. I really need to know. All right. Well, I think that's an episode, Brittany. What do you think?
I think that's an episode. I mean, we could sit here talking for just like a week straight, but I guess we have to end at some point, and that is now.
Yeah. That is now. The ending is now. The time is now to end. Everyone, as a reminder, you can email us moms@betches.com to submit your Am I a Momster? And you can submit your no mom guilt, because we're happy. We really want to read your guys' situations on the show, not just our own. We have lots of different segments, like what the fuck did my kid just say? Things like that. Like, send us like ridiculous things your children have said. We also do it on Instagram. Yes.
And we have a new segment, Trending Moments.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you have any ideas about trending moments, which are just like trends in the social media world that you want us to do or play or whatever.
So do that again. That's moms@betches.com. And if you love the show, please leave us a 5-star review. Again, this is not just me and Brittany doing the show. We have a whole team behind us. And it's not just that review is not just for us. It's for all of us together as a team putting together the show for you. And we love to do it. And it just feels so good when we see your positive feedback. And that's it. You can follow us at Betches Moms. You can follow me at Aileen. Brittany, do you have a new Instagram persona that you have started that I noticed?
Okay, so I get so much shit that I don't accept followers on BritRich. And who? Here's the thing. I don't, just like, I feel like people are always like writing in like, why won't you accept me? I'm trying to follow you, blah, blah, blah. And I feel bad. Like, I don't want to like not let people follow me, but I just feel like I have like a lot of private things on there. And So I started an account. It's _Brittany_Lev, because apparently Brittany Levine is the most popular name. I might as well be John Smith, because it took forever to find a name. But yeah, so that's my, I guess, like my everyday handle of stuff that I'll be posting on to kind of let you guys in a little bit more on my day to day, because I'm nice like that.
You're so nice. It's Brittany, bitch. So follow me. Brittany at _Brittany_Lev.
Love.
And at Betches Moms. And remember, there are no rules in this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom, right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com. Betches.